Clinic! Aim! Fire!
KGB officers, hands tied behind their backs, fell like scythed wheat. 200 more had been executed in the last 3 days for crimes against the state. Premier Vasily frowned as he looked out the window and then limped back to bed. Rahala, his servant, came quickly over and helped his master, still weak from the poison he had been given, up into the thick feather bed. The conspiracy of the doctors was over. The back of the KGB-controlled assassination plot had been broken here in Moscow, but not in occupied America. Kilov still lived, indeed was more powerful than ever, and in other parts of the empire, Soviet army forces were openly or covertly battling KGB forces as well.
Rahala, Moscow is secure. Secure.
Yes, grandfather. Your city is safe.
Slowly, Premier Vasily drifted off to sleep, his African servant sitting by his side, looking down with the tender eyes of a parent. Outside, the bodies of the dead conspirators were loaded onto trucks and carted off to unmarked graves in the country. The spring thaw was in full force. Birds began hesitantly singing within a minute or two after the echoes of the last machine gun volley died out. The cherry trees were blooming, pushing their delicate blossoms out like probing tongues into the warming air. Blocks away, inside the white marble Presidium building, fearful delegates were voting, unanimously, to re-elect Vasily as premier for life. On the 80th floor of the black steel building that served as the headquarters for the KGB in the United States, the Monolith, as it was called, smack in the center of Denver, Colorado, Colonel Kilov stared out at the purple-hazed mountains to the west. He ground his teeth as he watched the orange and brown clouds move in over the towering peaks. He had just received word of a rout in Moscow. All his spies, agents, and lobbyists dead.
I didn't think he had the guts to do it. One of my few miscalculations. At least I still control the north and west of the USSA. The fools! To attack me when the free fighters, the American rebels, were so close to an attack. Idiots! Now all the Russian forces will be divided, even more vulnerable to rebel attack. Zhabnov would be happy to let the American dogs run us out of the country, if it meant my fall.
Kilov saw his reflection in the dark glass. His face was taking on a ghostly pallor, his cheekbones poking out like ivory knobs from his skeletal visage. The scar that Ted Roxon had given him months ago ran nearly from his ear to his jaw, an ugly reddish-purple reminder of their encounter that the colonel would carry with him to his dying day. He began feeling jittery, the shakes that had been bothering him more and more frequently making his hands vibrate uncontrollably. He was taking Alavils, Methadrine, and Placidil. His need for the drugs was growing more intense with each passing day. He didn't feel like eating. He hadn't had a substantial meal in weeks. His stomach wouldn't accept solids anymore, just the pills. How long could he go on like this? But he had to until the crisis was over. At least until his forward positions of Kansas and Texas were more secure. With the doctor's conspiracy destroyed in Moscow, he was effectively cut off from his scattered forces in Russia altogether. Except Siberia, where Turkalev, one of his most trusted lieutenants, ruled like a warlord. But they were, in effect, out of the running. Their planes snowed in for the next 3 months at least, in 105 degrees below zero weather. But if the thaw came early, he would use their highly advanced fighter squadrons against Washington.
Hey, Rock. Just stopping by to see how you're feeling.
Oh, hi, Rath. Well, I'm having a great time with these headlines from the past few days. Hero returns critical, expected to die, followed by remarkable recovery the next day. They were probably up all night writing some poetic obituary and were disappointed they had to can it.
We were worried about you, Rock. What can I say? Any intel from your trip?
Don't get bit by cow-sized spiders. Listen, Rath, I'm glad you stopped by. What's the story on the Reconstitutional Convention? I've been hearing people talking, saying that the big meeting is about to happen, to form a new government. At least, that was the rumor.
What? No one was even supposed to know about that. There's an open meeting in the council tomorrow to explain the situation and vote for delegates. I can't understand how that got out. Only two other people in Century City knew about it besides me. Dr. Schechter and Council President Willis. I can't believe they would talk.
Forget it, Wrath. You know how this place is. There's nothing the citizens like better than to argue about every little bit of news and gossip. Your secret is all people are talking about. Relax, pal. No damage has been done. Listen, Wrath. I've got to go on this one.
It would be too much of an ordeal, Roxon. Right after your spider episode? The four people who will be elected to go must leave within 3 days. I don't think you should be among them.
Not go? I have a clean bill of health. I'll be needed to get whoever else is along for the ride through the wilds. You know what it's like out there. As chief military officer, I should go. It's my right, my duty.
Roxon didn't say the other reason. He had to see Kim. Kim Langford, the daughter of the man who was organizing the convention to form a new American government. Charles Langford. The memory of her face, her silky blonde hair, and her smooth, firm body filled his mind with longing. It was the first time that Doomsday Warrior had ever felt such deep and troubling emotions. He had heard from her once, via letter sent by the newly formed Pony Express service that was attempting to link up the different hidden cities. She had expressed her love with the same intensity that he felt, and she hoped that he would be able to come to the convention, where she would be working with her father.
I'm going. Dr. Schechter, Dr. Elston, they all say I'm fit.
But psychologically, Roxon, you seem withdrawn, different somehow.
I think I am. It's that experience of being in another consciousness. When I was so near death, it made me feel at peace in a way I had never experienced before. You really ought to meditate more, Wrath. It would relieve some of your tension.
The intelligence chief looked momentarily offended, but quickly brushed it off.
That's just it, Rock. What I'm hinting at is, can you kill? Others I know who have had similar experiences to yours, deep, meditative, almost religious experiences near death, have not been able to kill. They've lost the capacity to commit violence. I lost one of my best field agents that way.
Kill? Of course I can. Of course I'll kill when the necessity arises to protect the party.
You don't sound too sure of yourself, Roxon.
Wrath stared at the familiar, world-famous face. The mismatched eyes, one aquamarine, the other brilliant purple. The white streak running down the middle of Rock's jet-black hair. The rough-hewn face, darkly tanned, chiseled out of stone. Out of the thousand battles the Doomsday Warrior had fought in his life.
But maybe you're different. Maybe even after such an experience, you'll still be able to carry on as before. But I have the responsibility of bringing up my recommendations before the assembled council.
I appreciate your frankness, Wrath. But I am the same. Harder, if anything. I'll get our people to the convention.
I'll have to think about it, Rock.
Rock rose from the bed and walked around the room for the first time in nearly 2 weeks. He did feel normal. His breathing, his muscles, all seemed at last to be functioning with their full vigor.
All right, that's it. I gotta get out of here.
Rock slipped off his hospital gown and put on his civilian clothes. Khaki slacks, white cotton short-sleeved shirt, and combat boots. There were fashion shows in Century City from time to time, people showing off colorful clothes and risque cuts. But Rock had spent most of his life in the wild and didn't really see the point. He wore what he wore and forgot about it. Rock, feeling good for the first time in weeks, headed out to the much more interesting levels of the vast underground network that made up the metropolis of Century City. He smiled and nodded to people as he passed. Everyone scurrying this way and that, carrying out their workaday tasks. Century City was composed of a complex layer of tunnels that led to large, open chambers where industrial, processing, warehousing, and research activities went on. Rock felt like paying a visit to everyone, seeing everything. He had been given a second chance, for the 100th time, and felt brimming with excitement and energy. There was something about almost dying that made Rock want to live passionately. to experience himself and the world to its fullest. He headed over to the gymnasium, which was located on the sports and entertainment level. The large chamber was quite beautiful, with muted light coming from overhanging rocks that gave the illusion of being outdoors, with palm trees ringing the sides. He headed up to the track that had been built just a few years before. Roxanne changed into sneakers and shorts and hit the track. Within seconds, he was running at full speed. He knew pleasant jogging or jumping jacks weren't of any use to the world of AD 2090. At first, his body felt jerky, a little weak. But quickly, his lungs, muscles, and heart fell into synchronization, and the perfect motor-like machine inside of him took off. He ran for nearly 20 minutes at top speed. At last, he stopped. He let his heart slow and his breathing relax. The poison hadn't damaged him. Roxon headed over to Chen's separate and closed section of the gym, the martial arts room. Some sort of demonstration was going on. Chen was showing his students advanced techniques, moves that he had created from a combination of many of the classical forms, linked together by his own concepts and observations. He called it Go Taido, the way of the harmonious and powerful fighter. Roxon walked in and spotted Rona, the redhead who had been much more than a friend to Rock for years, near the side of the audience. She motioned to him and then put her fingers to her lips as he started to say something. He sat down next to her on one of the many Zazen sitting pillows. Chen, 30 years old, and a picture of the Oriental warrior with his proud, high-boned face and cat-like eyes, spent his life teaching others to fight and accompanying Rock on many of his missions.
Though we may abhor it, we must kill. That is the nature of things in our age. I pray that someday martial arts will return to the pure process of self-perfection, a way of bringing out all that is good in a man and woman. But for now, we must be able to strike instantly and with total destructive power. That is why the things I teach are not games or toys. Every one of you is a fighter. Every one of you will fight. Some of you will die. And perhaps I will. Or even Ted Roxon.
Hello, Chen.
Good to see you, my brother. Now, all face forward. Today, I will show you techniques for incapacitating an opponent. In this case, we must disable or hinder their ability to fight back without actually damaging their mental facilities. Broken kneecaps are very good for this.
Chen pulled a 6-inch long piece of metal from his loose-fitting black jacket. He pressed a switch on the end, and the dark cylinder expanded out another 24 inches until the entire thing was nearly a yard long.
Now, you all have these. Adobe is standard issue equipment for CC fighters. But I can never overemphasize the power of such a weapon. You can take out 20 men with one of these with this motion, but the spin is important. The tip of the rod must be extended out and the chi made to flow down through the fingers and into the weapon. Power of the mind keeps the dobi firm and strong, so it cannot be knocked from your hands. When it strikes the kneecap, it either breaks it with the force of a blow or cuts the tendons with the tip. Either will suffice.
The Chinese-American demonstrated a number of other techniques with adobe, including strange holds, killing blows on the neck, and how to throw the weapon like a spear.
But now for the main lesson of today. The reason for this little entertainment. Yoshi!
One of his students rushed out from behind a side curtain with an archery target nearly 3 feet in diameter mounted on long legs. They set it up at the far end of the floor of the martial arts room, some 100 feet away, and moved back out of the target zone. Chen reached behind his back, and with a blur of motion, pulled out something that he flung across the long open space with the speed of a bullet. It hit the target dead center, and stuck nearly 5 inches into the tough fibrous bullseye.
Now, these are not my invention. Star knives have been around for thousands of years, go way back in Chinese mythology. Even the design of these. Advantages? They're light. I carry 20 of them in 2 bags at the small of my back. With the help of Dr. Schechter's crew, we've put the equivalent of nearly a half pound of explosive into each of these, using a mixture of plastique and steel and plastic built into the very molecules. Explosive and knife mixed together. Now, these can be used against one man, as in this case.
Yes!
Very effective, no? At any rate, I've decided to start teaching Star Knife usage within the next few weeks. Those who are my regular students already know of this, but any trained fighter of CC is welcome to join. I have thought for a long time that I shouldn't teach this art because of the danger and power involved. But I had a recent realization that I am not the judge of what I should or shouldn't hold back. So, I have resolved to teach all that I know to those who wish to partake of it. And, of course, then there are star knives with the actual explosives mounted. These are non-functional until you push a small lever on the back that activates the electronic sensors at the 5 points of the knife. Thus, when it hits something, now, I only used approximately a 20th of the usual load. The full strength of these are enough to kill any man, even if you only hit their feet. So that, as they used to say, is the story. If any of you wishes to sign up for fighting or Star Knife classes, please sign up with my students by the front desk. Thank you.
He bowed slightly to the crowd, who returned the sign of respect. The group rose slowly to its feet, yawning and stretching. They slowly left the room. Chen rushed over to Rock, who was walking down toward him, Rona by his side, who was looking up at the bronzed free fighter with barely disguised lust. It had been months since they'd been together.
Rock.
Chen.
I heard you had a few problems.
A few?
I would have come to visit you, but I figured you'd already have enough of a crowd. Besides, a warrior does not like to have another warrior see him when he is downed.
Exactly right, my friend. I hate hospitals and everything that goes with them. Come on, I've had nothing but hospital food for 2 weeks. Let's get some real food.
The two warriors and Rona went to one of Century City's three restaurants. This one, located on the highest level of the underground metropolis, just feet below the second highest peak of the mountain beneath which the elaborate structure was built. Cleverly disguised baffles and rock formations allowed the sky to be seen from the restaurant. The three ate and drank long into the evening, their pleasure only slightly dampened by the occasional Russian spy drone overhead, searching, always searching for the hidden fortress city that the Reds knew existed somewhere in the towering peaks of the Rockies. But where